Thanks a lot. We on yet?
Well, the last time I was here, I got up and thanked everybody for all your prayers and good thoughts around my back that I had a protruding disc, and within 6 weeks, thanks to Dr. Ron Rose and all the healing and things, I got on the airplane to go to New Zealand quite well and happy. My back has been fine. You'll notice I'm limping, and there's a story about that that I will include as I go along. I made the flight to New Zealand, which is 14 hours, never mind the hour from here to Vancouver and the day with my son and family, which was wonderful. Drugged. I decided that this time I was going to do it, so a sleeping pill and a few other things, and I literally got through the flight without watching one movie, which suited me fine, because usually I arrive very tired, and I was pretty well straight. Came out of that quite quick and easy. Now, one of the things I did want to talk about was travel, in the sense that all my family, except for my children, are in New Zealand. So this is my third year in a row that I've gone down. Usually, up until now, I go down quite often, but in a row, not usually consecutively. And I have been, the last two times, was down for 3 weeks. This time, I went for 6 weeks, which is a whole, what I call a pattern of time. So my trip actually broke into three parts. So I'm just going to give you a little synopsis of three parts and how it evolved, many things evolved. I have two older sisters that live in the town that I was actually born in, which is about 2.5 to 3 hours south of where my brother lives, who is younger than me. So my parents had two families, two older girls, then me, who was supposed to be the boy, and then finally the boy. And my brother is always so kind enough that when I go down, he gives and lets me use his, he gives me his car to use, basically. So I have a vehicle. And so I arrived on Sunday, and Thursday I was heading south to see my sister, who some of you will remember that was here last summer. She had just moved into a senior flat, and I was really, really happy to see her so settled already, even though it was only a week before I got there, and I had to sleep on a pump up in the living room floor, which was absolutely fine because it fit. And my elder sister, who just lost her husband in August, she's in a home that one of her daughters runs. So we were able to go and visit her quite a bit. So then it was Thursday. Sunday, I took my sister that I'm closest to, and we drove probably three and a half hours to one of her daughters. Her daughter lives in a house I absolutely love and adore, and would love to just hang out there for a long period of time. It's right on the coast. The house is a magnificent house that looks out over the bay into the Pacific Ocean. And I find it a place of great solace, just healing and wonder, actually. Now the road. I'm sure all of you know the road to Naramata. 2 years ago when I went down there and I was blogging a lot, I talked about the roads to the point I don't want to mention them anymore because I feel like I really did the roads. But it's like most of New Zealand roads, if it's not the main highway, is like driving to Naramata, except it also goes up and down more, and they're a little wider, and they have 100 Ks on them. So I find driving on those roads a little hairy, and also I'm on the different side of the road. So it takes a great deal of concentration, and I actually have a mantra I use, which especially when you're turning corners and things, like, am I in the middle of the road? Because if I'm in the middle of the road, then I know I'm on the right side of the road for that country. I have to do it when I come back also, because it takes me a while to get things reorganized here. Now, when I was at my niece's, she's 10 years younger than me, so we're still kind of a little bit comfortable. We got talking about how I had come through this back issue and things like this. And she said, you know, we have an absolutely wonderful, incredible massage therapist in this town. She's come over and she's really great and does lots of good work. Do you want me to see if she can fit you in? She's always booked up, you know. Anyway, that particular night I ended up having an hour session with her with what they call hot stone massages. If you haven't had one, they're very relaxing and very, very nice and good. And of course, my back tends to hold my tension. I've been on all these flights, driving on these roads, you know. And so she said, I want you back tomorrow and we'll do a full 2 hours. Sounded fine, right? Sounds really good. So I went and I did my full 2 hours and came away nice and relaxed and feeling pretty good. The following day, I had a long drive. This is where the second part of my trip began to kick in. A good friend of mine who lives in Toronto happened to be in Australia helping a friend move and settle in there and had wanted to come over, which we had agreed on, to come over for 8 days. And so now I'm tour guide. And so on that Thursday, my sister and I got in my car and I drove her, two of her daughters met her halfway and I went bye-bye. And I drove back to Auckland, which was about 3.5, maybe even 4 hour drive. Waited for the plane to arrive, my friend arrived, and then I had another 3 hour drive, maybe 3.5 hour drive north. And that next day we got out and we went on a tour to the top of New Zealand. Now I've done this tour several times, I absolutely love it, plus I don't have to drive, and they've done a lot of changes since I last was there. You can actually drive to the top. When the very first time I ever went, is that you could not drive there, you had to be on the tour. And so I was very happy to sit back, and we had a great bus driver, and they take you on what's called 9 Mile Beach, which is actually 56. they also, the very, very top, you walk right on down, and they have all these, you know, so far to London, and so far to here, and so far to there. And it's a long climb back up. But there, as Maori legend has it, if you die in New Zealand or you're ready to make your transition, you go to that very first part and then your spirit takes wing. And I always felt it's a very sacred place and it was part of that whole being. But I have one little story I wanted to tell you about that, how the ignorance of people not living by the sea. Even though I lived in Vancouver for many years and I lived by my sea all the time when I was a child. On our way back, we stopped for lunch. And it was a buffet lunch, so we got our plates, and we came along, and I wasn't thinking that my friend wasn't going to be staying. We decided to sit outside. Now, New Zealand sun is very hot. You don't really sit outside. So we're the only ones that are outside. Crazy Canadians. So I said to her, oh, just a minute, I'm going to go get some water. Not realizing she wasn't going to stay at the table. At that moment, she decided she'd go get a cup of tea. I come back out to see our plates being devoured by seagulls. By the way, my friend's name is also Norma. So, as my brother said, Norma 1, Norma T, Norma 2, but we call ourselves Norma C and Norma T from our last name. So, Normandy absolutely lost the majority of her lunch. So we're starting on mine. So she had to go back in and get a whole new plate full. I went back in and got a few more things. And even then, honestly, they were just like these avaricious little things. Let me have the food. So we kind of had a laugh about that. And then when we got back to the town that night, actually I was feeling quite good, so we caught a ferry over to meet up with a niece of mine, and because later in the journey I was going back up there. So we had a lovely evening on this place and my friend got to see a lot more. My friend Norma had toured New Zealand, but she said, you know, it's really weird, I did this tour of New Zealand and I never got to see the beaches. New Zealand has beautiful, beautiful beaches. And so part of the design was to show her as many beaches. I don't need to see the beach for a while. So the next day we got up, checked out of the motel we're staying at, and I started driving back to my brother's place. Now, families, right? My brother and sister-in-law, also, while I'm there, the whole time, they arrived a little bit later than me and they left a few days after me, she had a cousin and his wife out from England, so she's juggling a little bit of people coming and going. They have enough beds, and we ended up, the usual room I'm in, I kind of got shifted, because one's double bed and the other one has two singles. So anyway, the cousins had decided to go somewhere, so we were able to come back. Oh, that was actually not the whole story there. It was my niece was supposed to be down with her kids, and they'd gotten sick, so weren't. So anyway, I didn't have to kind of stay away for an extra day, so we just drove down leisurely, and I began to feel that the upper parts of my arms were a little sore. And I just thought, oh, this must be the driving. Now, I drove a lot last time I was down there, and I didn't have trouble with my arms. But, you know, you just carry on. It's not real inhibiting, but it's, gosh, they're a little bit tight and sore. And we actually found a wonderful, wonderful beach, and I sat and read my book, and my friend walked the beach for a while, and we had a nice lunch, and we ended up back at my brother's. The next day, he took us around all sorts of beaches, and I got to sit in the back seat and snooze, and that was good. And then we had another day kind of relaxing, and then I was, guess what, I was back driving. I was driving back down another 3.5 hours to take a look. Thank goodness that one of the nicest beaches that we have, it's a big, called Mount Maunganui, and it's a lovely beach. Luckily, I stopped on the way, because the niece that I stayed at earlier also has another house. Must have money. Where you can have two homes, they have the business. And because the next day it rained, and so guess what? We went shopping. I also went and saw a cousin of mine that I like to visit. She's just one that does the genealogy of the family and always like to visit. So between visiting and that, we sort of had a long day. Then I drove back over again, and noticing again that my arms are a little sore and stiff, I drove back to my sister's at my hometown, and we stayed at a niece's place. And then this is the eighth day now, we get up and we go to Hobbiton. Now, how many of you are getting ready for the movie, The Hobbit? My hometown, right, we're up, just up actually from where my parents were farming when I was born, they have Hobbiton. Number of years ago, which is the set that they have for the Hobbiton village, a number of years ago I was there, but they have redone it for this movie, and I just thought it was incredible. Took lots of pictures, which unfortunately are still in my camera, and we walked around and thoroughly enjoyed the tour of Hobbiton Village and how it is, and it's just beautiful. It's in this farm and it's just set really great. And one of the funny stories I thought that was really interesting was that it's in a sheep farm, totally in a sheep farm, but they were the wrong kind of sheep. In the book, they have the blackface sheep. So they had to bring in blackface sheep, and they were saying when they're shooting every now and again, they say, you have to move your sheep because they're in the shot, because you have to have blackface sheep, because the real diehards know all the little bits and pieces, and they can't have one little thing that's not actually right on the book. Now, we were sitting in the bus where they have you before they take you up to where the village is, and I heard the bus driver tell the guide, you know, we had the greatest looking Grandolph here yesterday. Now the day before, that yesterday had been a lot of rain, had been very wet. And she said, you should have, and then she looks out her window the other day, oh my goodness, there he is again. So we had a Gandalf that came with us on our tour again, and no kidding, he just looked exactly like Gandalf. And I talked to him, and he was from Germany. And in Germany, I guess they have I don't know what city in Germany, but they have a place there all about the movies, and he was out getting shots and stuff for it, so that when people come in, they've got the real-life shots of the village, so that people can enjoy that. So I thought that was fascinating. And then I drove my friend back to the airport. That ended the second phase of my trip. Now I'm still getting these sore arms. In fact, now I'm getting stiff. Like I called it hips. It's actually upper legs, but I called it hips. I was beginning to get tougher and tougher at night to sleep, to roll over. I was learning all sorts of new antics of how to do that. And I had one sort of day of rest. And anyway, so by this time my work cycle, because I had arranged to do quite a bit of work, and my work cycle was beginning. I'm just looking to see if I'm worried. Yeah, my left line up there. Thanks very much. So I had a couple of readings to do for people, and I had a what do you call it? A a workshop to do on tarot. It was a tarot guild. Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
And
I've got something too.
And then I was going to drive, which a 2.5 day drive back down where I was going to go next to work for several days. And I kind of realized I was doing this stiffening up. And I thought, you know, I don't really need to be in the car. So I had arranged to fly. So I flew down country to Napier, which is on the east coast of New Zealand. Now, some people might think it's crazy. I had a great time. I arrived on the Thursday, and on Friday I saw some clients. Friday night I did an open lecture. And I like doing those where there's no real focus, like it's not as specific, just to see what people want to know about metaphysics or whatever it is they want to know. So we had that. Then Saturday came along, afternoon was a past life regression, Saturday night was Channel Your Guide, which many of you are familiar that I do that here. And then on Sunday afternoon I had a couple of readings, then I did a psychic party. And then they say, well, seeing you're here, the person who is going to speak at the local center, which is similar to this, is quite willing to step aside, and you can come and speak if you want. So, you know I love to speak. So, of course, and all this time, I'm really getting it. And what we've done is offered people, if they took everything, a nice discount. So, a lot of it, we're seeing the same people. Not a lot of people, but the people I had mostly were connected to the Maori tradition. And I got to experience the Maoris, you know how they put nose to nose? And this lovely lady who thought I was wonderful, so we don't tell the true story. And she was just a delightful, delightful human being. She took people on these healing walks and things. So she welcomed me in and said, after this, you'll always be part of us. And I stayed at this lady's house that was a magnificent, large place where there was lots of room. And I did readings and clearings and, as well as teaching there. And then my friend Karen, who was up here a couple of years ago, and you might remember her, she drove me to another town where a friend I hadn't seen for a long time. And I had a half a day to sort of recuperate a little bit, and then I did another psychic party for 12 people, and then the next day I got on the plane to get back to my brother's, thinking, I've got one day of rest. Except he says, guess what, I'm driving back down to Tauranga, where I can drop you off to see the sisters. So this gives me another opportunity to see my sisters one more time, so in the car I am with him, plus it's always great to spend one-on-one time. And so my day at rest really wasn't that much restful. But all the time, I want you to realize I'm getting stiffer and stiffer. I can't lift my arms over my head now. I can't, turning in bed is really difficult. So now I have to drive another 3.5 hours back up north to my niece, where again I'm doing several things. I'm doing this past life regression workshop, the channeling your guides, and a psychic party, and then I've got a day of readings booked. Now this leads us to pretty well getting close to just about when I'm getting ready to come home. Now, this niece is a physiotherapist, and I'm really limping by now, and I'm really stiff, and I'm sore. And I'm having to sort of lie down and rest because to sit is really painful. So I'm not really recognizing half of what's going on. But, you know, they give me some exercises to do and I seem to recuperate quite well. Everyone is sneaking into still from my back. So eventually it's time for me to drive back on Monday home and to my brother's. And he says, if you can get here by a certain time, because I don't know about anybody else in the audience but me, but I've been following the Volvo Ocean Race, and that's boats that are traveling around the world, and they happened to be in New Zealand that last week that I was there. And he said, we're going over to town, and you can see the boats, because that was one thing I wanted to do, was see the boats while they were there. So, driving home, back to my brother's, and kind of having a little bit of a rest, and then off to town to see the big boats all put up. And they left, actually they left Auckland, the day I left Auckland, and I got to see them on TV leaving. Then they went, these guys are crazy, you know, absolutely crazy what they do. But, and then I had a few days where I had a few more appointments and things, groups that I was doing. So it was still a busy time. And then it was time to come home. But I had one more last little lecture to do. My youngest niece had a boot camp on the Saturday morning. I was flying out on the Sunday night, and she had arranged for me to speak to her group. Now, by this time, I'm hardly moving. I'm stiff. To get up hurts, to sit down hurts, to can't lift my arms above my head. It's I'm adding an extra half hour in the mornings just to get up, have a shower, and get dressed. So I'm holding myself in a way together, the ever-professional, right? And I go and I speak to her group. And what's interesting, again, because we were talking about balancing, this is what I laughed out later, balancing your life. How do you balance being a professional? I mean, I ran a big company at one time and raising teenagers and doing all this, and we decided that this would be a good topic for these people. So as usual, I go in and just open my mouth and start talking. And then I sort of didn't really have any too much plan. And then we went into questions and stuff. But what really warmed my heart was this one girl said, I really needed to hear that. And I think even if there's one person that really needs to hear whatever it is you want to impart, then it's been a success. For me, the interesting thing was, as soon as I got back to my brothers, I literally fell apart. It was like the last thing I had to do was done. And I basically went to bed very early, and the next day I had to pack and get ready to come back. And I got myself back here. I was really anxious to get back because I was not in a good way. I felt for myself quite good, but my body was certainly having difficulty. Now, because my back had been so bad, I had already arranged to have a chiropractor treatment when I got back, right? So on Monday, I get in Sunday night, and thank goodness for Linda, because, you know, Linda's just been great, roommate, but man, she looked after me, and here I am, and how do we do it? Too much, and I get to the chiropractor, and my back's fine actually, but he said your tissues are really weird. You know, you've got tissue issues here. So that was Monday, Wednesday. Now again, another interesting thing. Before I went away, I knew Dr. Fuller was beginning to create a new practice. So I had booked an appointment when I came back so I could get in on her books, because in all the years I've been here, I haven't had a regular doctor. Well, I go in and I said, you know, I had this protruding disc in December, and now I've got these aches and pains, and I don't know what they're about. So basically, she sent me for a whole pile of bug tests, which I haven't been able to get to yet, but I will next week. And she said, I want your body's obviously telling you something, so get writing. Now, it didn't take care of the aches and pains, but what I began to do was sit down and journal. Now, some of the stuff that came out, I'd already figured out in New Zealand as I was driving around, because if anyone knows me, you know that I'm not just going to let something happen and not start figuring out what's going on to a large degree. And so we found out some stuff, and I wrote down, okay, I need to do word chains. Now, we talk about being happy. I'm getting there. I have written a book called Secrets for Living Happily, and one of the things in there we talk about doing word chains to find out what the structure in words are. And so I had to do a word chain, do an energy release, and I called up a student of mine and we did some clearing work. And that sort of helped me get to be in some places, still no real big shifts. The next day I was looking and I was thinking, then I went up to see my massage therapist up in Kalina. And we got talking, and she said, you know, what's happened, when you had your hot stone massage, it's released the toxin in your body, and you haven't drunk enough water. So it's like a sewer backup, right? So I got thinking about that, and why am I not a water drinker? And this is where it got really interesting. So I sat down and did a word chain, what I call a word chain, on the word water. Bottom line was, water to me was drowning, dead, gone. So you can see why I wasn't drinking water. So and the word change, we changed the structure of the word. But during that, doing that, I had this real image of this young man drowning in this beautiful warm water. But drowning. Again, swallowing the water and being gone. So I, lucky as a past life regressionist, I do a past life regression, and so that's gone. And I have to say, since then, I've been able to drink water. In fact, a lot. And I noticed that the first day that that happened, I felt really, really thirsty, like I was absolute, which is true. My sister, everyone is always eating me, you know, what do they call it? Underhydrated, like, you're not hydrated enough. Well, that's how I felt. And even now, at times, I just feel like that. It's like, it's very easy for me to drink water. But you see, what was happening wasn't flushing things out. So the toxins that got released in this lovely massage, double barrel, 3 hours of massage in basically 24 hours, was just stuck in all these tissues in my arms and my legs. Because even though it's the same as my hips, it really wasn't. It was the upper thigh muscles, and it's particularly my butt. So I had to do some running around while sitting on my butt mat because I couldn't sit for very long because it hurt. So in the meantime, I still got clients coming in. See how you have to juggle everything? So, you know, how long can I sit? I had clients coming in, you know, just the other day for an hour and a half. One was for an hour, one was for half an hour. And, you know, I was like, oh. But by this time, I was beginning to feel pretty good. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm walking around, and I get tired, yeah, but the aches and pains, I can lift my arms way over my head now. I have no shoulder pain pretty well, almost bare minimum. So I go off to Whole Foods and start looking. And decide, oh yeah, I should do a lymphatic cleanse. So I started doing a lymphatic cleanse, and I have to say, 3 days ago, I was brilliant. Like I was moving, everything was fine, I started this cleanse, only to find all of a sudden I'm worse. So I'm back up at my massage therapist, who usually, we work well together, and she says, stop that right now. That's how you got this way in the first place. All you're doing is you're stressing your body out because it's still clearing the other stuff. So that's why I'm still a little stiff this morning, is because up till yesterday I was deciding to add fuel to the fire. Okay, if this is not bad enough, let's do some more. So it's like so many things to look at. Like what is it? What do we have to balance here? Like, is it it's not necessarily a spiritual thing, because I feel pretty good in that area, but the body, I had ignored my body. I was a jock as a kid, I had lots of accidents, I fell on the tennis court, I played field hockey where I took knocks, I'd fallen off trees, you name it. But you know, in those days, you just got up, shut yourself up, and carried on. Since 30, I had a back issue. It sort of settled down after having a protruding disc in my 40s, and it was quite strong until just before Christmas. But I really didn't look after my body. So I was looking at, today I was looking at, finally got some personal tarot cards on this, because I'm starting to feel a bit better. You know, it's very difficult when you're not feeling good to do the things you're supposed to do. Have you ever noticed that? When you're in pain, you don't give a dash about anything. Just, I want that pain gone. And when you're not in pain, that's okay. You begin to look and do things, but then you get back in pain again, and it's like, oh my goodness. So I really took a good look at what my fears are. I have fears? Yeah, I do. Some of them were triggered in New Zealand by my two older sisters. I think it's, what, 2.5 years now? I'm going to be 70? No, my sisters are in their 80s. But it's like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me? What am I going to, I have to keep working. What am I going to, all this subliminal stuff that goes on, you're not aware of. When am I going to get back? Will I see them again? My elder sister, who I have not expected to see at all, is looking the very best I've seen her in years. And really looking good. But you never know. The world's in a funny place. If all the volcanoes go up, I mean, this is where your mind goes, you know, I'm not saying this is a reality. Then I wouldn't be able to catch an airplane. What would I do? See, I love traveling New Zealand. It is so beautiful. I'm very happy when I'm down there. All the family is there. It's like, and you know, I was thinking, what are the things that are different? One thing is it's the only country in the world where they call Auntie. And it's very precious to me, that word, because it's the same place, I'm an Auntie. And I was explaining to someone, when you meet someone, they kiss you. It always takes me a wee while to get used to that. Strangers. You know, we might shake hands or we may hug, they'll come in and they kiss you right on the lips.
I'm going.
I tell you, and especially when you're doing a workshop, they come in and, you know, they're all kissing you everywhere. Like, oh my, you know. So your boundary lines get all chipped and changed, but it warms your heart. There's this heartwarming feeling. And then especially when they give you all those lovely compliments, you know, when you come back, we wish you were here, all those things are kind of nice too. And I did get a lot of that. But it's like, yeah, those fears, what do you do with them? Luckily, I know how to release most of them and clean them. But you've got to identify. I always teach my students, there's three elements. The first one is to identify stuff. Oh, which is fine. I seem to be like I'm talking a long time. How to identify what is actually happening and going on. So you have a pain. Well, what is that pain representing? Why is it there? Who would have thought just because I wasn't drinking enough water that I can't put my arms up over my head? But that's the reality of that. Who would not get, but yes, I'm not drinking water because one time or other, as a man, I drowned in the water. So when you go to drink it, at some subliminal level, you're going to feel and know that, oh my God, you know, I'm going to drown. I never felt that with wine. I guess I never drowned in wine. Right? You guys didn't really know me in my wine drinking days. Now it's like, okay, what's fueling this imbalance between the physical? Where am I going? Because I sat down this morning with my tarot cards. Three higher, for those of you, some of you sitting here know the tarot, three higher arcana cards, all to do with balance, all to do with not being in command and what's next. Letting go, trusting the process, all the things I teach, right? And I think I've got pretty wrapped up. I mean, you know, people look at my life, I do what I, and I found there's a fine line between that doing and being. I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday about how, you know, I often talk about in class, which she realizes because she's heard me say this a lot, I tend to get complacent. My life's going along and I get complacent. But there's also a part of me that still wants to do. It's like I'm not done yet. There's still something, there's a fire still inside that wants me to do. And there's a contradiction within that. And I think that at times I'm caught in that contradiction. The contradiction of just allowing and being and relaxing and not thinking about anything except the moment. And then this, something comes up inside me. The next time that happens, I'm going to grab it. Because now I can remember it, but it's not up at the moment because I'm dealing with these other things. But it's like I want to grab that and see what that's comprised of. That, not that you stop planning. Not that you stop doing anything, but that maybe that need to keep doing, that need to not just be comfortable and allow things to unfold. There's been a conflict, when I look back, it's a conflict I've personally had for a long time. Because I'm a good creator. I've always created well. But it's like, why not just allow to see what happens? The phone rings, people make their appointments, they come. But my love is this. My love is to speak, to share. Today I kind of just talked more about the story, but to share the elements of life that make life so much more. The elements that say that this is where we can be happy. And it's like in the book, you know, Secrets for Living Happily, all these little basic things. Like what one of the exercises in the book is, what percentage of today are you happy? It's not about how much am I unhappy, It's about the percentage of being happy. Even if it's 10%, it's 10%. I did something yesterday I haven't done for a long, long time that brought me great inner joy. All my life I've made up songs. And as my friend was driving me back from Kelowna yesterday, and I was getting a bit uncomfortable sitting in the car, and she said, I turned to her and said, oh, give me a topic. And she said, peace and contentment. And so I sang a song about peace and contentment. And she said, oh, we should have recorded that. It's gone. It's gone. And I said, oh, thousands of my songs have all gone. And she said, I said, okay, give me another. I think it was two verses I did, I think. And then I said, give me another word. And so she gave me another word, bliss. And I sang a totally different type of song about bliss. And again, the two verses, and she's like, oh my goodness, you know. But what I realized is so often we get so caught up in the day-to-day, we don't take time to do those things that we really like to do. I love to move to music. I love to sing. I love to create.
Are you going to do a song for us spontaneously?
Oh, I don't know about that. But I could do that, for sure. I wonder how it'll come out, because I never do. I come out enough and out.
How about being real?
Being real? Okay, well, just give me a minute to wrap this up and we'll complete on being real. How's that sound? So, it's like life is an adventure. I know people can say, this is the last year I had, and said, oh, I'll be back next year in my family. But I do want to go back in 2014, for sure. So it's because I've got other things I want to do as well, you know, being all places. But I've really come to recognize you got to drink water, which my daughter's been telling me for years. You got to drink water, you got to move, you got to do those things that bring you joy. You got to do those things that make you feel complete within you. And it's not about what other people think or what other people feel is work right or accurate. Are you being true to you? Are you being true to the sense of yourself? Okay, let's see what comes, all right? Being real? Yes, Maureen.
Hi, I just wanted to remind you and remind myself last spring when I was at your place and you were away. I was planting my baskets, my garden baskets. Can you talk about the sewer backup? I was first detecting that. That happened at your physical location.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the precursor.
I think so. I've gone through a very similar thing myself with cleansing and got a little dotty with it, with all this stuff, not drinking water.
Yeah. Well, it is something to do with that. I know my age group, we weren't raised to drink water. And then I was talking to my daughter, and she's who's very much in the health area, and she was the one that was saying, you know, you, Dad, you guys, you just don't drink enough water. So if nothing else you take for today, please take drink water. And if you have trouble drinking water, come see me, and I will go through and see what's blocking that. Because okay, be real, was that it?
Be real.
Being real. As I walked through the valley and I looked at the hills, I realized that it was all real. They told me it was a dream that I was in, but really, it was me. Oh yes, it reminded me. that being real changes moment by moment. When the sun went down in that valley of mine and the moon came up so soft, I smiled as I realized that lo and behold, God being real was mine.